10. I will call the children and families committee meeting to order. Today we have a informational hearing, but before we get to that, I would ask, and we do have a quorum present, I would ask if Representative Altendorf, if you reviewed the minutes and would you approve them, please?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Carried. All right. And next, let's go to Chair West. You have a bill that we'll be having a hearing on. It's just an informational hearing today. So if you would like to go ahead and introduce your bill and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before we get started, we have a list of testifiers we'll be calling up. If you are not on that list and there is still time, we will open it up to anybody here who would like to testify on this bill. And I also would like everybody to be aware that any public and audible displays of or shouts or boos or anything of that kind is not acceptable. So please keep quiet and listen to the testimony and the debate here today, as we're here for a very important purpose of making law. So, requested this bill a while ago, but it took a good amount of time to get it from the revisor's office, which is not their fault. They have an impossible job with the number of bill requests going in. But it's the role of government to provide for the security and safety of its people. And nowhere is that more important than when you're talking about infants and toddlers, because they can't speak for themselves. And what we've seen in Minnesota, unfortunately, is cases of maltreatment in childcare have been increasing over the last few years. And today we're discussing a bill titled Harvey's Law. And this bill expands on an existing area of law to require cameras in childcare centers that receive state funding and retain their footage for 28 days. The legislation that's passed last year established a camera requirement for centers that have active maltreatment violations. And that piece of legislation also addressed cost concerns by narrowing the scope. It originally was for the entire facility, every classroom, every shared space, narrowing that to two rooms, infant and toddler rooms. And it addressed the privacy concerns that were brought up by limiting access to only authorized childcare staff and the department, which I don't even necessarily like that, but trying to address concerns that people were brought. And the footage would be seen by law enforcement in the case of investigation. We had this debate last year, and it was brought up of a concern of people hacking into child care centers if they installed these cameras, and that footage would then be used to make pornography and distribute it, which is a gross and heinous thing to do. But I would argue that doesn't compare to physical harm, actual maltreatment that we're seeing that could be stopped. And even when that does happen and is caught, we don't see accountability. I don't think there's any comparison. We even require cannabis businesses to have every square foot of their facility monitored by cameras with footage retained for 90 days, but we have nothing even remotely close when it comes to keeping our kids safe. That, to me, says our government has priorities that are drastically misaligned. This bill is about cameras in infant and toddler rooms and storage of only 28 days. There is real harm, and when it is caught, there is rarely justice. We need Harvey's Law. And Harvey's story that happened late last year is something we all need to hear. And we need to hear from everyone involved in this space, because these things can be stopped. Individuals who do these things can be brought to justice. So without that, without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Harvey's parents.
All right. Thank you. And if you would please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Mr. Chair and committee members, my name is Catherine Mucklebust.
I'm Hunter Mucklebust.
And we are Harvey's parents. Thank you for allowing us to testify today. Our son, Harvey Gene Mucklebust, was 5 days short of his first birthday when he was murdered at daycare. Harvey was the happiest little boy. He loved to giggle. He lit up when his brother walked into the room, and he brought laughter and light everywhere he went. On Friday, September 19th, 911 was called to Rocking Horse Ranch Daycare because an infant was found not breathing. This was the first attempt to take a child's life. Luckily, that baby survived, but the parents whose children attended that daycare were never notified that emergency services had been called. If cameras had been present that day, the truth of what happened would have been known. There would be no question of why this infant suddenly wasn't responding. And then, not even a full business day later, on Monday, September 22nd, it happened again. That same infant was found unresponsive for a second time at the same daycare. Miraculously, that baby survived and was able to go home. Because no cameras had been installed in the facility, there was no footage of these numerous incidents, including what led up to EMS being called. The footage would have answered all the questions we had. Staff would have known the terror of what was actually happening inside that room. Actions could have been taken, and children would have been protected. Instead, not even a few hours later, I received a phone call from daycare that no parent should ever receive. Our perfectly healthy, beautiful son Harvey was not breathing. I raced to the daycare while feverishly calling Hunter, who was working on the other side of the country at the time. I hate reliving this day. I hate picturing Harvey's lifeless body on a table while emergency services work to tirelessly help him. I hate remembering that I was ushered into a room and told you don't want to see this. I hate knowing that less than 3 hours prior to that, I dropped my baby off with someone who I thought could be trusted. Our beautiful baby boy, the happiest, smiliest little light in every room, was gone.
Harvey's death was completely preventable. There were not one but two warning signs before our son was taken from us. Cameras would have revealed the truth and stopped all of it. If cameras had been installed, the first attempted murder would have been documented, the truth would have been revealed, and our son would still be here today. Instead, we lost our sunshine. Instead, we soothe our three-year-old to sleep every night as he cries, asking for his best friend to come home. And instead of holding our son, we carry him with us in our jewelry. I want to acknowledge something clearly. Cameras cannot physically stop someone from harming a child in that exact moment. but cameras create the ability to see and analyze what happened, something that may otherwise go unnoticed or unexplained. They create accountability, they provide evidence, they allow for immediate action to protect children. They also protect the people who work so hard to keep children safe. In Harvey's case, local police spent nearly 4 months piecing together what happened inside that room. They interviewed staff, reconstructed timelines, all searching for answers that cameras would have provided in minutes. Not only do cameras protect children, but they also preserve time and resources for investigators like the ones who worked on Harvey's case. Some argue that cameras do not deter bad behavior, but we rely on cameras every day to do exactly that, even at self-checkout lines, traffic intersections, lobbies, healthcare facilities, and workplaces across the country. Cameras will create transparency, they create accountability, and accountability protects children. This same accountability can also mean protection for child care workers. While it is important to understand what this bill requires, it is equally important to understand what it does not require. This bill will not require live feeds for parents or guardians. Recordings are not publicly accessible. Only designated child care staff and emergency personnel would have access to these recordings. Harvey cannot be brought back, but his story can protect other children.
I urge all of you to take a step back from politics. This issue should not be about political parties, who introduced the bill, or current or past disagreements. This bill is about protecting the next generation. We've met with legislators from both parties now, and while we understand the complexities behind getting it right, our hope is that both parties can put aside their partisan differences, refrain from using this tragedy to talk about other political issues, and please just get something done during this session. We must protect the smallest of Minnesotans. When you vote on this bill, please remember that behind it is a little boy who should be here today, laughing, learning to run, and growing up with his big brother. Please help us make sure that Harvey's story saves other children. Please pass Harvey's Law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did neglect to say that the testifiers today, we're going to have a hard 2-minute cap, so we're not being rude when we cut you off, but we want to make sure everyone has a chance to speak. But I think we can go on to the list now.
Sorry. We'll have 2 minutes for testimony. And so if you start off, introduce yourself for the record, and that about 10 seconds left, you'll get an audible warning. And so just proceed with your testimony, please.
Okay. My name is Julie Muckelbest. I'm Harvey's Nana, Grandma. I do have a question for the committee. When I said to speak, I was Luke and Natalie Cousina, whose other baby asked me to read their testimony. Can I read both of theirs and mine?
Yeah, proceed.
Okay. I will read their testimony first, their written testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to submit this statement. Our names are Natalie and Luke Cousina, and we are the parents of 2 young children. Our youngest child suffered abuse at the licensed daycare, and we are sharing our family story in hope that it leads to change in law to better protect children in Minnesota daycare facilities. In September 2025, our daughter Peyton was just 5 months old. On this morning of Friday, September 19th, we dropped her off at daycare, trusting she would be safe and well cared for. Shortly after we left, we received a frightening phone call. Peyton had turned blue and stopped breathing. 911 had been called. We rushed to the daycare and arrived to find the parking lot filled with emergency responders. With the help of the first responders and oxygen, our baby began breathing. We took her to the emergency room where doctors told us she had experienced what they called an unexplained event. Over the weekend, Peyton seemed to be like herself. Based on what we had been told by the daycare and the hospital, we believed everything would be okay. Then Monday morning came. Shortly after we dropped Peyton off at daycare, we received another frightening call. This time, Peyton was vomiting blood. As we rushed her back to the ER, we learned of another child at the same daycare. Harvey had also stopped breathing while in the provider's care. Harvey tragically did not survive. Months later, we learned the truth. A daycare employee had suffocated both Peyton and Harvey while they were under her care. We firmly believe that this tragedy and other like it could have been prevented if cameras had been in place. If cameras had been present, the first assault on Peyton would have been seen and action could have been taken before Harvey lost his life. When we began searching for a new daycare for our children, we would not even consider a facility without cameras. The accountability and transparency those cameras provide were things that gave us enough peace of mind to trust someone else with our children. We understand that some of you have concerns about cost or privacy, and those concerns matter, and they can be addressed in thoughtful legislation. But they cannot outweigh the safety of the children who cannot speak for themselves or tell when something is wrong. We cannot change what happened to Peyton, and we cannot bring Harvey back, but this body has the power to help prevent another family from experiencing the same nightmare. Requiring cameras in daycare facilities will not solve every problem, but it will create much-needed transparency, accountability, and provide an added layer of protection for the children that families entrust to the facilities every day. When parents drop off their babies at daycare, they are placing their trust in the system, licensed and regulated by the state of Minnesota, meant to protect them. You have the ability to strengthen that protection for Peyton, for Harvey, and for every child who cannot speak for themselves. We respectfully ask you to support this legislation. They could not be here today because of a family emergency. So I'll read mine. My name is Julie Muckabust. I'm Harvey's Nana. On September 22nd, our life was turned upside down when our sweet Harvey was murdered at his daycare. At the time, we did not have any idea what happened to Harvey. He was healthy. He had no underlying conditions that would have caused his death. We soon became aware of the investigation that another baby experienced the unexplained breathing event the Friday before, and we rushed by ambulance to the hospital. Doctors could not explain the reason for the breathing event. The first baby was fine over the weekend and came back to daycare, where once again the baby stopped breathing. The baby was taken to the hospital and examined. Within 2 hours, Harvey was found not breathing. And first responders were called. Tragically, we lost our sweet boy, our herb monster. My husband and I were the first at the hospital where Catherine was with Harvey. It's there that we found out Harvey was gone. My son was out of town on a work trip and on a flight home, frantically texting me, asking if Harvey was okay. I did not answer. I could not answer. And my other grandson was with staff at the daycare that was closed, and all the children had left. There is absolutely no way to explain the sound of a mother's scream. She loses a child. There's no way to explain the profound grief of having to tell your son in the middle of a sea of cars at the airport pickup lane that his own child had died. And there's no way to explain the pain of picking up your grandson at daycare when he asked, "Nana, what about Harvey?" And I told him, "Mom took him to the doctor." If cameras were present at the first assault of the baby, law enforcement and first responders would have been able to review the footage, and Harvey would be with us today. And it really is just that simple and so incredibly sad. I know cost and video security is a sticking point with a lot of you, but let me ask you this.
Where does one end and the other start when we're talking about the safety of children? What is the bottom line for you when it costs a child's life? What is the video security concerns when the video footage of children being abused and murdered is the only voice for those who cannot speak for themselves? We need to do better as a community to protect the voiceless. As a family, our first choice would have been to have cameras in all daycare facilities. However, there was some thought that it would not have enough bipartisan support to pass. Therefore, the requirement for cameras was tied to receipt of state funding to add a layer of accountability and good use of public funds. Much like when I worked as a CFO for a nonprofit organization and we applied for state and federal grants, most grant applications added additional requirements of compliance to receive those funds. Let me be clear. The way this bill is written has absolutely nothing to do with fraud allegations being tossed around our state, as I have recently seen alleged on social media. And to suggest so would be deeply offensive to our family. We are fighting for children's safety. This room is full of supporters from each side of the political aisle, people who are united, not divided, for the passage of common sense legislation to protect the most valuable and precious among us, people who realize that we have more in common than we are different. So if there are any members of this community who would like to amend the bill to include all daycare facilities, I would invite you to do so. We need to reach across the aisle and work together because this should not be a partisan issue. We all need your support to ensure that no other family goes through the extreme heartache that our family has and continues to endure. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And again, I'm sorry for your family's loss. Next, we will go to Daryl Dannon. And so please, let's keep your comments to about 2 minutes. At about a minute and 50 seconds, we get a audible warning. So with that, if you would introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hello, members. Excuse me. Hello, members of the committee. My name is Darielle Dannon, and I'm a lobbyist for the Minnesota Child Care Association. I am so sorry to be sitting in front of you talking about everything that's going on here today. I don't know if we could be having a worse conversation. The murder of Harvey while in the care of child care is just every parent's nightmare, every child care provider's nightmare. Today is our day at the Capitol. And so this has both been a joyful day to talk about what our members do and, of course, you know, a very hard day for obviously all of you and all of the families as well. I just want to share that MCCA is in alignment with the spirit of this bill. I'm going to share some concerns, but child safety is our utmost concern. Many of our members do use cameras already, but some of our members don't use cameras, and some of those centers never have used cameras. For both types of providers, we really think that this bill deserves thoughtful attention. So we're concerned that the requirements of the bill may limit childcare providers' willingness to participate. It may limit participation in programs that serve low-income children, and so have a bit of a chilling effect. We're also concerned that it might challenge the childcare workforce. The workers might not want to work in a place where they have video cameras surveilling them all day, and so that's already a place where we have some challenges in this space. It's also not an inexpensive proposal. I know there is nothing more important than children, but I know that we also have a lot of conversations about the cost of childcare here, and when things cost more, like installing video cameras, it is going to increase the cost of that care. And yes, it feels inappropriate to talk about that. Obviously, our children are very precious, but it is something that would likely, again, lead to increased costs. And I know folks have flagged it already, but video cameras themselves don't prevent abuse. There are many documented cases of abuse occurring on camera, and employees, unfortunately, can circumvent cameras. So we really, careful hiring, training, and supervision, and fair compensation are things that we would support that would prevent these sorts of problems. And then I just flag privacy concerns. And I know we've talked about that in this committee last year. I'll just, and I think I'm running close to time. Okay. It is notable that Minnesota, if we pass this, we'd be the only state that has enacted video camera requirements for childcare centers. And so we're really urging members to think about, I know task forces aren't everyone's favorite thing, but I know there's been some thoughts about potentially a task force that could look at this from all aspects, bring folks like cybersecurity professionals and others to the table. So if we want to do this, we would need to do it right. And I do want to flag that this does limit this sort of supervision to just childcare centers. And so that does leave about 30,000 children outside of this sort of supervision.
If it could wrap up your presentation.
Yes. So we're happy to continue to partner with you to think about how to do this well. And again, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to be here talking to you today about this. And I know Bill Author and I know the chairs and members of the committee are equally wanting to get this right. So with that, thank you, members.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Janice DeGonda. Hello, and if you would introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Sure. My name is Janice DeGonda. I have a 2-year-old daughter who was abused at Small World Learning Center in Blaine of July 2024. We found out she was abused by not only one woman who ran the immobile infant room, but by two women in the same room in front of one another. We picked her up from daycare like normal, and it wasn't until we were home changing her diaper did we find over half her body was covered in bruises that her clothes hid. They covered her stomach, legs, groin, and her bottom. The next morning, we confronted one of the directors at this daycare, to which we were told that they had no idea what happened, but they would review the footage and get back to us. We then took our daughter to Children's to be looked over, where she had to be checked for any bruises, fractures, or any brain damage. Thankfully, our daughter did not suffer anything worse than bruising. 2 days after we left the hospital, we received a call from the detective to inform us what they saw on the footage. We then found out that the daycare only kept video footage for a week at a time before it was deleted. Over the course of this investigation, it was found out over a dozen families were involved with this case, but only 5 of us were able to get charges added due to having footage. We then were told that we would get lucky if they would serve any time due to this being their first offense and due to the lack of evidence. One of the abusers took the first plea deal of serving 90 days in jail and pled guilty to 2 felony charges. She will be on probation for 10 years. However, she only served 58 days in jail. The second abuser's case just finished last week. For her, most of the charges were dropped due to the lack of the video footage. She accepted a lesser plea deal of only pleading guilty to my daughter and doing 30 days in jail, which means she will only serve 18 days. She will have 5 years probation. Let that sink in. 2 women were caught on camera abusing immobile babies. The worst damage one of the victims faced was a fractured leg. But due to the lack of video footage, they received less than 2 months each. I know for a fact that if it was required for this daycare to maintain having their cameras, and if they held their footage for longer than a week, these women would have served more time and families would have gotten some form of justice. I do not believe
If you could please wrap up your testimony.
Sure. I know there will be things that we cannot protect our children from. However, we should not be worried that they're being abused by people we are paying to watch over them. We need all daycare centers to have cameras as a requirement to make sure we can hold people accountable. This will not make everything go away. However, it's a good place to start. This is not my first time sharing my story before you. However, the urgency is still there. Things are not getting better. How many more innocent children will be abused and unfortunately have to lose their lives due to the lack of protections and security by not having cameras? Those numbers are too high already. Please help us protect the children and please support Harvey's Law.
Thank you. Next up, we have Samantha Becker. Please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
My name is Samantha Becker, and I'm a mom to a 3-year-old boy here in Minnesota. I'm here because my son was injured at daycare, and the explanation that we were given did not match what we saw. When we picked him up, he had a large scratch on his neck and a bruise on his chest. The report said that he had been injured by his snow pants or maybe scratched himself during his nap, but what we saw was a handprint-shaped bruise. When we asked our son what happened, he told us that his teacher did it. He's 3, and he was able to tell us his version of events. But the reality is that many children in daycare don't have that ability. Infants and young toddlers cannot tell their parents what happened to them. They can't explain an injury, and they can't advocate for themselves. Even in our situation, where our son could speak, the lack of cameras meant that there was no way to verify the truth. We reported the incident to the center and were met with denials. We were still waiting for answers from the state, and law enforcement told us there was nothing that they could do because there were no cameras, no footage, and no admittance of guilt, which means that this person is still able to teach in this room. My 3-year-old son should not be forced into a situation where it becomes his word against an adult's. After this happened, I started a petition calling for cameras in licensed daycare centers in Minnesota. As of today, it has over 5,400 signatures from parents, caregivers, and community members who support this bill. Many of the comments simply say, please pass this common sense bill. Parents want transparency, they want accountability, and they want to know that their children are safe. Cameras are not about assuming guilt. They protect children, and they also protect teachers and providers from false accusations. They create clarity when something goes wrong. What happened to Harvey was horrifying and unforgivable. Most stories don't start where Harvey's ended. More often, they begin with smaller incidents, unexplained injuries, dismissive responses, or concerns that are written off. Because our youngest children cannot advocate for themselves, we have to build the systems that protect them. I urge you to support this requirement so that families across Minnesota have the transparency and peace of mind that they deserve. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up, we have Kirsten Simmons. Please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Hello, my name is Kirsten Simmons. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you all today. I'm here as someone who's seen this issue from multiple perspectives. As an early childhood educator, as a paramedic, and as a parent who now currently sends my own children to a child care facility. I could tell you about the time that I went to pick my daughter up from daycare and they had temporarily lost her. I was the one who found her in a classroom before they had even realized that she was missing, screaming and crying alone. I could tell you about the time I walked in as a teacher to another employee physically assaulting a child at a center, which I then reported as I am legally required to do so as a mandated reporter, and then being treated like the villain who jeopardized the center's image. But I only have 2 minutes, and unfortunately there's no shortage of stories like mine. Today I currently work as a paramedic and a paramedic educator. In my 8 years in the field, I have seen horrific things that will stay with me long past my career has ended. Things that I would not have believed people were capable of doing if I had not witnessed them myself. Part of my job now includes teaching other first responders how to recognize signs of child abuse, emotional, physical, and sexual. No one wants to believe a child care center could be a place where harm happens, but too often it is. I have seen firsthand how quickly a child's safety becomes secondary to protecting an organization's reputation. If my career has taught me anything, it is this. When there is an imbalance of power, it is all too often abused at the expense of the most vulnerable. Mandatory cameras in child care facilities would provide transparency, accountability, and protection for both the children and the many caregivers who do the right thing every day. Because when allegations of neglect and abuse arise, the absence of cameras protects only one party, and it is rarely the child. Harvey's Law gives children a voice when they are too young to speak for themselves. Our children cannot advocate for their own safety in these rooms, and that responsibility belongs to all of us. Please pass Harvey's Law and give Minnesotan families the transparency and protection that they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Debbie Eck. Okay, is Debbie Eck not here? I thought that was Debbie Eck, sorry. Lisa Hollensteiner. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Lisa Hollensteiner, Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Lisa Hollensteiner. I'm a retired emergency department physician. I'm also board chair of Safe Passage for Children of Minnesota and lead the Minnesota Coalition for Child Safety, which is a group of over 40 professionals who have all cared for children directly who are victims of abuse. Both organizations are devoted to protecting children from abuse, and neglect through policy and system change. We support Chair West's proposed bill, Harvey's Law, as an important step towards strengthening child safety, with the understanding that success will depend on appropriate funding, support, and education. According to Parent Aware from the Department of Health, last year 116 children in licensed child care centers in Minnesota had findings of maltreatment such as sexual and physical abuse. Almost 1,000 children had serious injuries that occurred at daycare last year. Children 3 and under are at highest risk for abuse. They are uniquely vulnerable and entirely dependent on the adults entrusted with their care. They are unable to tell anyone about what they may have experienced. There are three main benefits of video recording. First, deterrence of abuse and neglect. The mere presence of surveillance cameras can act as a powerful deterrent against mistreatment, neglect, or any other form of inappropriate behavior. Second, objective record of events. In cases where concerns or allegations arise, video footage provides an impartial record. It helps clarify situations, either confirming inappropriate behavior or exonerating staff from unfounded accusations. Third, increased parental trust. Many parents feel apprehensive about leaving their young children in someone else's care, but knowing that the facility is under video surveillance can offer immense peace of mind, and I believe would be a selling point when people choose a child care facility. This is a common sense, forward-looking measure that prioritizes the safety and dignity of our youngest citizens. Child safety should always be the priority. Thank you for your time and opportunity to speak in support of this bill.
All right, thank you for your testimony. Next we have Lisa Elliott, and if Michael Pohl, if you could be ready. Welcome, and if you would introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Lisa Elliott. My son was abused by a teacher at his Montessori school in Bloomington, Minnesota on November 17th of 2023. Another parent witnessed the teacher aggressively pull my two-year-old son away from a toy, pick him up, swing him to where his legs were at a 90-degree angle to his body, and drop him from waist height. The parent was shaken and called the Minnesota Department of Human Services to report child abuse. I was not informed by the daycare until 24 days after the incident occurred, when the director of the daycare knew that I would be receiving a call from the state regarding a child abuse investigation. The DHS report states that my child rolled on his side, reached for his tailbone, and cried out in pain from the impact of his little body hitting the ground. The state investigation originally found the teacher, the abuser, guilty of two counts, maltreatment by physical abuse, resulting in serious maltreatment of a child. The daycare lawyers appealed. The second charge of maltreatment, serious maltreatment, was removed. I filed a formal appeal with DHS but lost. I was told while DHS acknowledged my son was abused by the daycare, they could not conclude the bruise and tailbone injury was from the abuse because there's no documentation. We had no evidence or documentation because nearly a month passed before I was notified by the daycare that my son may have been injured. I feel the daycare director did this intentionally to allow the evidence to heal and time to pass so there would be no documentation. The daycare is fined only $200 for failure to report maltreatment of my child. There was a bruise. He would wince in pain when I'd put him in his car seat. I could have never imagined this came from his teacher. Had I suspected abuse, I would have involved local law enforcement, got a medical evaluation, and documented pictures of the bruise. The daycare had no cameras. Despite an eyewitness to the incident and a DHS finding that abuse did occur, the person found guilty of child abuse is still working with children. A child abuser is still working with children. Had there been cameras in the daycare, the video evidence may have been enough to keep that second charge, which would have barred her from working with children. I'm glad to inform you that an eerily similar incident occurred in 2016. This time there were four victims. Same daycare, same story, same cover-up. Cameras in that daycare could have helped those families too. This news report can still be found online. I'm lucky I still have my child. He was not gravely injured, but he was traumatized. For nearly 2 years, he had anxiety at every morning drop-off. The new daycare thankfully has cameras. This is probably the only way I was able to entrust new strangers with the care of my child. They listened to my story, understood my anxiety, and explained that their cameras were good for both the safety of the children in their care and for their staff. If a questionable incident occurred, they could look back and see exactly what happened. I urge you to support Harvey's Law for the safety of Minnesota children and families. It helps hold people accountable and keep our children safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Pohl.
Good afternoon, members of the Children and Families Finance and Policy Committee. My name is Michael Pohl, and I'd like to begin my testimony with a simple scenario. Imagine walking into a bank to deposit your hard-earned money. You look around and notice something missing. No cameras. Most people would hesitate. Many would walk right back out. Not because they assume wrongdoing, but because the absence of security cameras creates uncertainty. When it comes to protecting money, we expect transparency as a baseline. I work in the financial services industry where accountability is fundamental. In certain ways, our world closely parallels that of daycare centers. Advisors like child care providers are licensed, background checked, audited, and continuously supervised. Cameras in areas where clients' assets are held are standard practice, not as an accusation, but as a safeguard for both clients and professionals. We as advisors accept these measures because accountability is what helps build trust. Now contrast that with child care. Most of us would agree that a child's life is infinitely more valuable than some dollars or stock certificates in a bank vault. And yet when you compare the systems we've built, the rules and regulations suggest otherwise. Harvey's Law is not about assuming bad intent. It is about ensuring responsibility when the unthinkable happens, and clarity when families need answers. In financial services, being responsible is not optional. It is the cost of trust. To be clear, cameras do not replace good people, but they can reveal dangerous behavior early, protect good caregivers, and preserve truth when it matters most. Don't our children deserve at least that standard of care? I understand there are reservations around video access and who might bear the costs of upgrading security. I get that. But let's not allow perfection to be the enemy of meaningful progress. Harvey's Law is a reasonable, measured step to align our regulations with our values. If we are willing to require rigorous oversight to protect money, we should be willing, without hesitation, to require accountability to protect our children. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Luke Yost, and I believe this should be on Zoom. Luke, are you there?
Yes, I am. Just give me 1 second. I'll get my video on, and I will be quick. Thank you so much today, committee, for taking the time to hear these stories and testimony. I am just testifying on behalf of just being a friend and also a therapist here right now. And just writing in support of Harvey's Law. It's hard to put into words the feelings around the tragedy that occurred this September in 2025. My partner Matt and I had Harvey's birthday party invitation on our fridge that week, and I had just reached out to Kat about what type of gift would be good for the little guy's birthday. You can imagine how devastating it was to get the news then that week about Harvey's death. Words can't begin to describe our feelings after that, knowing that we should have been at his birthday, but we were at his funeral instead. So, but I will say Harvey's light still shined that day and felt apparent. Hunter, Kat, and Declan were as strong as anybody could be during that time. And now I know that they have navigated a course of justice, loss, and unknown territory they never thought they'd be navigating or never wanted to do in the first place. They are doing their best to keep it together, but it is hard and frustrating as a friend to see that they have been put into a position even like this. Justice can also come in the form of hope, and that's what I want to refocus on here, the type of justice that gives hope for the future, that something like this can be prevented from happening again, or at least make it more challenging. Just last week, I talked to a friend who also has directly benefited from cameras in their daycare, protecting their child from abuse, and discipline happened, and it was all because of cameras being there to see what happened. So that reminded me again that if this can be something that can be done with common sense, it's kind of a no-brainer. And while I don't have kids myself, they're bright and shining light in all the kids in our life, both family and friends, to have. And if there's something that can be done to protect and prevent something like this again, then we urge the committee to send this law through. As a therapist, I know justice with hope can also be helpful toward healing. And I don't know what healing looks like for Hunter and Kat on the road ahead, but I do know that they're using their energy for something important, good, and right, which undoubtedly is on the road to healing. So I urge you to please support this law and support all families who have been broken by these types of tragedies, but also that the hope that we can and should do better and be the light in the world from the eyes of Harvey. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Jessica Merchant. And she should be on Zoom.
Yes, I'm sorry.
All right, well, proceed with your testimony, please.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Merchant, and almost 10 years ago, my then 13-month-old son was a victim of abusive head trauma at an in-home daycare, which I understand this wouldn't apply to, but I feel that it should. When I first heard about Harvey's death, I was immediately transported back to the hospital where doctors explained that he would need emergency surgery to relieve the mounting pressure on his brain. I was beside myself. How could this happen? How could we have prevented this from happening? Why weren't we at a center where they all have cameras, which is what we thought at the time? How could anyone be so awful? Our little boy, who hardly ever cried, a victim in the worst of ways. He had been handed a life sentence. A 10-year-old boy who can't walk alone, has no use of his right hand, has comprehension and language skills of a 1 to 2-year-old, and is living in constant anxiety and emotional and behavioral stress. He's upstairs with our PCA right now. He got home from band, and I heard him yelling and screaming the whole way in the house because transitions are really, really hard for him all day, every day. That constant emotional behavioral stress is really hard on everybody. He will never live alone and is dependent on caregivers for all of his basic needs. It's hard to explain the depth of loss we have experienced and the trauma we still hold from that day and all the days that came after it. His abuser was convicted of first-degree assault of a minor and served 60 days in jail. Her prosecution was a landmark in that case because there was no camera, but because the abuse was so significant, and the prosecutor said we got lucky. We got lucky. She got 60 days, and he got a life sentence. While he did not die, as Harvey did, what happened to him is no less tragic. Our children both deserve to be safe and loved, and instead they were both brutally assaulted. This must stop, and those responsible must be held accountable. There is no accountability if there is no proof, and there is no proof if there is no camera. Please pass Harvey's law. Cameras in daycare centers is such a logical first step. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, I have Catherine McHenry on Zoom. Please introduce yourself and proceed further.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Catherine McHenry, and I am testifying on behalf of the Early Care and Education Consortium, or ECEC, a nationwide alliance of high-quality child care and early learning providers with 260 member locations in Minnesota. First, I want to unequivocally state that we share your goal of ensuring all children are cared for in a safe and enriching facility. No family should ever endure what Harvey's family has, and no parent should question whether their child is safe in a childcare facility. As a mother of two young children, my heart breaks for Harvey, his family, and anyone who has to go through something like this. We understand the desire behind wanting to require video cameras as a safety measure and prevention strategy. I wish this was the answer. However, this proposal would have serious implications on the entire childcare industry, as well as many unanswered questions about the providers and tens of thousands of families who would not be covered by this bill. As others have mentioned, there is a significant cost to obtain cameras, record in-store footage, upgrade internet capabilities, and hire staff to manage the cameras and footage. The cost would be prohibitive for providers and would unfortunately be passed on to parents. It would also prevent providers from making important investments in staff and facilities to improve safety and quality and prevent these types of tragedies. There are other privacy and legal concerns that need to be considered. We would happily surmount all of these challenges if we knew cameras would prevent tragedies, but unfortunately they will not. And we shouldn't place these requirements on an entire industry trying to do right by children based on the terrible actions of a few awful individuals. Mandating cameras in every childcare setting would be like requiring cameras in every hospital room. They might record what happens every day, but they don't prevent errors or maltreatment. What can improve safety in hospitals and in childcare is proper training, supervision, ratios, protocols and procedures, inspections, higher pay for staff, and more. Safety improves through systems and standards, not constant surveillance. We are committed to working with the committee to find solutions that protect child safety while promoting affordable, quality care for more families. To that end, we recommend this committee replace the existing proposal with a task force to consider data-driven ways to improve quality and safety without significantly reducing costs and other concerns for families and providers. Thank you to your dedication to Minnesota's youngest learners and their families.
Thank you for your testimony. I have two people that are written on my list, Suzanne and Jenna. I don't know if they're in person or online, or and then also if there's anybody else in the public that would wish to testify. But so if you would introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
My name is Suzanne Dickerson. I'm the mother of Janice DeGonda and the nana of Little Bird, nicknamed by me and known to most of you. We came and begged all of you to help us get cameras in daycares with retention of said video for 28 days. We failed. I failed. When our nightmare began, two monsters admitted guilt. Four charges grew to six. Then they started being dismissed. No video. One monster took the first plea deal. Two felonies, 90 days. Served 58 because no video. So no justice. Last Friday, the second monster was sentenced. We sat with the families of those charges that were thrown out because simply no video. Each thrown away just as she threw the possible future of our babies under her own two hands. One felony remained, Little Birds, on camera. 30 days in jail, will be 18. 45 days to turn herself in, been close to 2 years. If she, a convicted child abuser, gets a job, she'll spend only nights in jail. There was no true justice simply because of the video. We know cameras won't stop all these monsters. We know this because we are here today to fight for Harvey. These monsters must be punished. To do so, there must be video kept for 28 days. Cameras can punish. They also can be used to exonerate workers unjustly accused. Reality is, when you go anywhere today, you're on camera. You have the power and duty to protect the infants and children of Minnesota who cannot yet protect themselves. It is your duty to answer our call and put all of your power and support into Harvey's Law. His parents and our children deserve no less. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we have Jenna. And following that, if there's anyone else in the public that would like to testify, you can come forward. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. My name is Jenna Borkowski, and I serve as Government Relations Manager for Learning Care. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill today. In Minnesota, Learning Care operates 28 child care centers, serving more than 3,500 children and employing over 500 educators. We so appreciate the bill sponsor's focus on child safety, and I express my sincerest condolences to Harvey's family and loved ones. Ensuring the safety of children in our care is our highest priority, evidenced by Learning Care's use of cameras and a proprietary family communication platform across our more than 1,100 centers nationwide, including here in Minnesota. While cameras and live streaming are valuable tools, they must be paired with strong privacy protections. In our centers, families can only live stream their child's specific classroom, access is limited to approved family members, and streaming is only available when their child is present. Cameras are never placed in sensitive areas such as bathrooms or diapering stations. Stronger privacy and security safeguards are necessary to ensure footage remains confidential. Additionally, as drafted, this bill would impose operational and financial burden on providers. Required camera installation or upgrades, expanded video storage, and ongoing staffing support would create substantial costs, especially given the 28-day retention period. Based on our experience, a 7-day retention period is sufficient to identify and preserve footage in the event of an incident. Without dedicated funding, these new costs would likely be passed on to families through higher tuition, and additionally, because compliance is tied to the receipt of public funding, some providers may choose to opt out of programs such as CCAP, Great Start Compensation, and/or Early Learning Scholarships, reducing family access and limiting educator compensation. For these reasons, we respectfully urge the committee to establish a task force of providers, families, technology experts, and other stakeholders to study the use of cameras in childcare settings and consider all benefits and guardrails. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there one last call for anyone? We got a couple over here, so. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Ableidinger. On April 30th, 2011, my husband Mac and I became parents for the very first time. Our perfect, beautiful little boy, Dane Joseph, was born. Dane had the sparkliest big blue eyes. He loved being read to, and he loved being outside watching the trees sway in the wind on his warm summer walks. Dane loved when his daddy made him laugh and when he would listen to music and dance around the house cheek to cheek with me. August 18th, 2011, our lives changed forever. Mac and I had research providers while I was pregnant. Dane's home daycare provider was referred to us. She had won awards within Dakota County and Eagan. She had been a provider for 30 years. We interviewed her 2 hours and had 3 pages of questions printed out, writing down all of her answers. Dane was only in her care for 3 half days a week, 14 hours total per week. I dropped him off on his 7th day in her care. He gave me a great big smile before I left, and that was the last time I ever saw our baby boy alive. Dane's death was ruled positional asphyxia. The way he was found on his stomach, on the floor, on top of a blanket, he could not breathe, and he suffocated. The investigation proved that Dane was left for several hours in an unsafe sleep position while this daycare provider was outside in the backyard with overcapacity of children. On the day he passed away, they found 22 children were in her care. An innocent 12-year-old little girl was the one who found Dane unresponsive. The provider got the 12-year-old to lie to police and say he was in a crib. The provider lied to police multiple times, hid evidence, and 14 and a half years later still shows no remorse. Dane's provider spent 35 days in jail. Dane is turning 15 next month in heaven. I should be taking him shopping for new Nikes since he would be a freshman in high school. My husband should be spending hours on the golf course with his 15-year-old son, making all the memories together. Someone else's negligent choices, someone we trusted, changed the course of our lives forever. The guilt I carry with me forever is heavy. The person I handpicked to care for my baby was responsible for his death, a death that was 100% preventable. Every parent deserves to feel confident in their choice of who they are trusting with their child's life the moment they walk out the door. I believe video cameras in daycares will hold more providers accountable and help give working parents the peace of mind they deserve. I'm asking members to support this bill in honor of Dane, Harvey, and all of the innocent children who have lost their lives at daycare. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And I see we have another member of the public. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Ben Johnson, and I'm a detective with the Blaine Police Department. I've served in law enforcement for 26 years, 15 of the past as a detective. Throughout my career, I've investigated many cases involving abuse of children. In July of 2024, I was assigned to one of the most upsetting cases that I've encountered. Parents of a 5-month-old baby girl reported unusual bruises on her daughter's body. Medical professionals with expertise in child care confirmed that the injuries were consistent with abuse. Our investigation began by interviewing those who had recent contact with the baby, her parents, and 2 staff members at the daycare center. Initially, no one stood out as a suspect, and no single incident could explain the injuries. These cases are extremely difficult because infants can't tell us what happened to them, and physical evidence is often very limited. Thankfully, this daycare had surveillance cameras. When I reviewed the footage, I saw 1 staff member roughly handling the baby. Even more concerning, another staff member watched but did nothing to stop it. And further review showed that both had mishandled several infants in their care. When interviewed, both staff members initially denied wrongdoing. However, when shown the video, they admitted to their actions and their failure to act. One staff member described her behavior as disgusting and said that she should never again be allowed to care for babies. Over just 5 days of available footage, we documented 17 incidents of abuse involving 7 victims, including 1 baby who suffered a fractured leg. Without those cameras, we likely never would have known who was responsible, and these individuals might still be caring for children today. Having access to surveillance video was critical in this case. Without it, there would have been no way to prove responsibility. Sadly, I've investigated other infant abuse reports that went uncharged because there wasn't any evidence to identify the abuser. If those daycares had required to maintain functioning video systems, those outcomes may have been very different. That is why I urge you to support Harvey's Law to help ensure that we can protect the most defenseless among us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you so much. My name is Mimi Nguyen. I'm proud to be an extension of the Mucklebust family. I'm also proud to be a social worker. I specifically work in child protection. I have a master's degree in social work, and I hold a license through the Minnesota Board of Social Work as well. Throughout my career in child protection, I've been exposed to various types of child abuse and neglect, but it wasn't until September that I've been so personally affected by the death of a child. In my profession, I have witnessed how difficult it can be to determine what has happened in situations where there's little to no documentation. We just never believe that something like this could happen and hit so close to home until we're in it, figuring out how to navigate it all together. We firmly believe that had Rocking Horse Ranch employed security cameras, the incredible loss to our family could have been avoided. Our family waited months for answers, and we wouldn't be here today without a confession. If the details had never come to light, it begs the question as to whether or not we would have an outcome similar to that of Representative West's experience or that of the others who have testified here today. When we think of incidents such as car accidents, theft, vandalism, when a person goes missing, we rely on video footage to figure out where their last whereabouts were. Who was involved? What had occurred? I just need help understanding how this specific setting in daycare is not an appropriate ask. This tragedy has broken our hearts. It's also broken the trust in daycare providers. This bill is about rebuilding that trust. It's about accountability and increasing that transparency. It's not about the live surveillance. Security cameras may have the ability to deter abuse at the hands of childcare staff, but should it not, these recordings would be able to exonerate that alleged perpetrator or otherwise. We have this opportunity to make change, strengthen protections, and hold childcare facilities at a higher standard to protect the most vulnerable of children, those who entirely depend on others for their own health, safety, and well-being. We have thought long and hard about the arguments against this bill. The opposition just does not compare to this loss that we now carry for the rest of our lives. Please listen with open minds and open hearts. Should your perspective remain, well then how grateful I feel that you don't have to endure this heartache. Please hear us. While it is known that change takes time and typically many hearts have to be broken by devastation similar to ours, please don't allow this to happen to other families for another bill to get proposed. My family has been incredibly strong. Our hope is that other families don't have to be this strong. Should there be another reason for us to be here, another incident, right here is where we're going to be. We'll continue to push for change. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. And see one more from the public coming up. If you'd please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed.
Hello, my name is Alana Nelson. First, my condolences to the families of Dane and Harvey and others that have suffered an unimaginable loss. I am here to represent quality childcare in an industry that is on a precipice. From COVID to ICE, childcare is in a detrimental state. I have been working in Minneapolis at Sunshine Montessori School, a nonprofit 501c3 toddler and preschool program serving 50 children for 25 years. My background is in business and education. I spent time at St. Thomas and the University of Minnesota. I'm fortunate to have no student debt and to have married someone in the healthcare field, allowing me to follow my passion for less pay than in the public and private sector. Since 1979, Sunshine has been located in a church basement, which is all we can afford in Southwest Minneapolis. We prioritize our educators. With 85% of my budget going to labor costs. We provide insurance, paid winter breaks, spring breaks, extensive education opportunities, and the retention of my 6 lead staff. We have put in a combined 81 years at Sunshine Montessori. This means I have 15% of my budget to pay rent, insurance, buy materials, food, technology, make repairs, and meet mandates. I pay almost $8,000 a year for an audit to be done as a nonprofit. A video mandate in my school would be nearly impossible to implement and to fund. I do not have $5,000, I do not have $10,000, I do not have $20,000. I do have a playground that is across Bryan Avenue, around the corner in a parking lot. I don't have electricity there, I don't have water there. I have 12-inch concrete block walls. I do not own the building and we are not affiliated with the church we were in. According to the Economic Policy Institute, childcare in Minnesota is one of the most expensive. Infant care is around $22,000 a year, and yet childcare workers are twice as likely to live in poverty. A median childcare worker would have to spend 69.6% of their earnings for their own child to be in childcare. A childcare worker earning a well above your Minnesota approved average wage mandate of beautiful $15 an hour would have to work 36 full weeks to pay for their own infant to attend care where they work. The expectation is that it is a predominantly female workforce who can't afford their own children's child care.
You could please summarize your testimony, please.
This low compensation means we're hiring teenagers, 18-year-olds with weeks of experience to be alone with 4 infants. The ratio of 4 to 1 for $22,000 on average cost of an infant child care would bring in $90,000. You'd need 1.5 staff, rent, insurance, food, diapers, supplies, classroom materials, phone, internet, child care apps, continuing education, payroll, outdoor spaces, and furniture, maybe some workers' compensation. How about some paid leave that we're now doing? All of that you're going to fund with $90,000. If you install, let's say it's $10,000 to put in cameras, that would be $17 million for the 1,700 child care facilities.
I'm estimating it would be $20,000.
Which would be $34 million. If you have $34 million for our child care workers, I would suggest that you invest that into continuing education, salaries,
Mr. Chair,
education
point of order.
Families and children.
The other speakers had 2 minutes. This is quite a bit over time. And it's hitting on other issues that are not being addressed in this bill.
If you give one final sentence and then.
If the Republicans in this room care about safety and children, you would have moved on gun legislation after the Annunciation shooting. You would not be bombing schools in other countries.
Ma'am.
Point of order.
Personalities are being invoked here, and this is that is out of order. So thank you for your testimony. Is there any final members of the please proceed. If you would introduce yourself and then proceed for the record.
My name is Diane Gruey. I'm the other grandma of Harvey. We miss him all the time, every day. I would like to say cameras are very good to have. I worked at a bank. Banks have cameras. You're not even aware of it. You just do your job to the best of your ability. And they came in handy more than once when we could look back at the videos and prove one thing or another. I don't know, working at a bank, you just get used to it. And they aren't the most expensive cameras, but they help. That's my story.
Well, thank you for your... Thank you for your testimony, and I'm sorry for your loss. So I believe we have come to the end of the public testifiers, and with that, we can go to member discussion. Or Chair West, do you have any comments you want to give before we go to member discussion? Or
sure, just to quickly, thank you, Mr. Chair, cover what has been said so far. We will deal with amendments, as I can imagine, one in particular, when we take up the bill for a vote next hearing. So a task force has been brought up multiple times. A task force, we can have experts work on these issues and then come to some sort of agreement here. But a task force is not going to really, you're going to hear everything you just heard today and the last time we had this hearing. You're going to hear from families who have been affected. You're going to hear from people concerned with cost, people concerned with privacy. And this committee is where we should be having those discussions. A task force is something that legislators generally use to delay action on something they'd like to delay. So, to some of the concerns here, we've talked about them before, and that's why we have restrictive data requirements in law already. There is very little access, to my chagrin, and the 28 days of data retention was brought down from 90 in the original bill. 28 days of data retention also is not an expensive addition. We are talking about many different services that offer 90 days at less than $50 a month, and even less so for 28 days. There's also companies which offer specifically cameras for childcare that have costs below this. There's even companies that don't even do upfront costs and let you play it over time. This is something that many centers do already. If it's so expensive, why do we see so many people doing it already? And we narrow it to infant and toddler rooms. The playground brought up earlier, that is not part of this bill, and it's not part of existing law either. That was another compromise made, because these concerns are real. The people talking against the bill have valid concerns. We've worked thoroughly to address those concerns, and I can give a couple of potential improvements, perhaps, to address these. So, on the privacy side, we can establish, we can direct the department to establish best practices on data security. For example, if you have a 14-character password for your Wi-Fi security, it is like astronomically more difficult to hack. If you are trying to hack into a camera system like this, the way you do it is you have a program that can catch a signal when a device connects to the network. You do not have the ability to penetrate the network unless you can interrupt a connection between somebody's device and the network itself, and they don't use a virtual private network. If you have used a virtual private network, basically this is impossible. Now, they catch that packet, and then they need to figure out the password, which is why a 14-character password is important, because if you have a 14-character password, it's going to take days, if not weeks, to resolve that password. Now, that's why you have these annoying things that tell you to change your password every so often. So the department could develop best practices, and I am happy to include that in the bill, because these things are not rocket science. I used to be a former Geek Squad employee. I set up many a wireless network. This bill will be introduced tomorrow with bipartisan support. It had bipartisan support last year when we had a much more expansive bill. I share the concerns that this is an expense on childcare that is also very expensive as it is. I am open to ideas. We are ready for discussion. So please do not hesitate to bring your ideas forward. As you can see, what happened with the bill last time, and the end product was drastically different than what got signed into law. And in particular, if we need to provide more funding, we know there's no money right now, but we can work around an enactment date that gives us time to dedicate money to this as well. So I'm open to ideas. This bill has bipartisan support. It had bipartisan support last time. And the most common response that I hear when I talk to people about this bill is, I can't believe this isn't already law. I hear that over and over. People who haven't been scarred by tragedy. And when I shared the story with my daughter, I really appreciate everyone here and how you are all very supportive. Like, not forget the bill. Appreciate you all. And I appreciate everyone here who shared their stories. For me, it was very, very helpful. So I hope, if nothing comes of this, that the sharing your story helps you process it, because I can't imagine that grief. But hopefully, the more you verbalize your thoughts, generally, it helps you process crippling tragedy. So members, please bring your ideas. That is what I wanted to say to address what we've heard so far, and I'm happy to hear anything else.
Okay, thank you, Chair West. And members, comments? Representative Coulter.
Excuse me, thank you. Excuse me, thank you, Mr. Chair. Since I'm leading off here, I want to just take a moment and honor all of the parents and the grandparents and the caregivers who have shared their stories today, as Representative West has in the past. Even as we were sitting here, my mom texted me a funny story about my four-year-old that she was watching today. I cannot fathom the pain, the trauma, the guilt that I know you all have in this moment, and the extra burden of sharing that in a space like this among people that, many people anyway, that you do not know. So I want to honor the emotional strength that requires. I do have one question for the author, if I could. So you just now listed some suggestions and ideas about how to address the very real privacy concerns that exist with this bill that were voiced by this committee last year and that you, in fact, publicly committed to addressing. So my question is, why is that not reflected in the bill language we have right now?
Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Coulter. It is actually not a... I am happy to include anything that it would bring more support to the bill. So if there is some privacy elements that you would like to see brought to the bill, I welcome it. I believe existing law is sufficient myself from bringing in the concerns that were expressed last time. But if there is more, I am ears. But I believe existing law is sufficient, which is why it's not in the bill.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative West, for I guess I would say, renewing that commitment. And I do trust that you are someone who works in good faith. I want to, first of all, be clear that I am not unalterably opposed to the idea behind this bill. But you and your comments today perhaps represent a shift from comments you have made in the past, and that I am choosing to view that hopefully. Because, for example, when you had your press conference, you said that this bill, quote, is so much more important than maybe somebody hacking in something and uploading them to AI and undressing the child. And where that is concerning for me is that it makes it sound as though we have a choice between protecting kids from physical violence and sexual exploitation. And that is, I believe, a false choice. You members, you all have in your packets an article on the AI child exploitation crisis. And I think the way that shows up in a community like mine that has a lot of hotel rooms, I think is perhaps different than that shows up in many other communities, because we know that there is a very clear through line from that kind of exploitation to sex trafficking. And as I said, that is, I believe, a false choice. I believe we can and must protect our children both from physical violence and from sexual exploitation. So it's encouraging to me to hear you recognize that we can take steps to do that. And I hope when we bring amendments forward to this bill that we can engage in a good faith conversation to do that. Thank you.
Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I am happy to make changes to the bill. So, like, if you look at where the bill ended up and where it started, I operate in good faith. The reason I bring up, phrased it in that way previously, is because I believe those are two distinctly separate issues. The idea that somebody's going to prefer this, like prefer 720p footage from a security camera, when these sickos can go take, because if they're hacking in, they probably have nice cameras. They can go, like, sit in the back of a children's recital and do something freaky like that. Like, and that way they can, whatever these people are into, they have a much better target-rich environment out in the public. That they're not, this is not going to lead to any increase in that. But I'm happy to add concerns for people who do have those concerns, because it's so much more important to protect these children when they're in the care of others.
Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chair West, for bringing this bill to the committee. This is frustrating. As we heard the testifiers say, and there, you know, we're not very many, but that testified against this bill, you know, you can just go down point by point. And it's very disappointing to see these excuses that should not be excuses. To the last testifier, you know, talking about the cost of child care being expensive in Minnesota. It is expensive in Minnesota. And I'm happy to work on all of those issues and to deregulate so much of the nonsense that we require of our daycare providers so that we can drive down the cost of daycare. But that's not what this bill is about. That's not what this bill is about. Chair West has bent over backwards to try to be accommodating on this bill. And as you heard him testify, some of these cameras are a mere $50 a month. $50 a month. That is not cost prohibitive. This packet of the AI, this needs to go to bed. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous to be trying to use this when right now we live stream little kids dancing. We live stream sports all over YouTube. There are pictures of children, and to try to substitute safety for our precious children and to turn this into that a person would turn this into porn, and that's why we have to stop this, is shameful. Absolutely shameful. You heard what I said. And you know why? Because Minnesota has laws. We already have laws. Let's look at it together, everyone. Minnesota Statute 617.246 makes it a felony to use, promote, employ, or permit a minor in porn. Pornographic work includes photos, films, videos, drawings, or computer-generated images depicting a minor in sexual conduct. We don't refuse to address a safety issue, which I cannot believe the amount of testifiers we heard today. We do not sit here and refuse to address that because we have laws against that. We already have laws against that. And that is just quite insulting to the families, to the testifiers, to everyone here who has been affected by abuse in these child cares. And the last point is choice. It's choice. Again, Representative West made this bill so accommodating. It's not mandatory across all daycares. They have the choice. If parents don't feel comfortable of having their children in a daycare with cameras, they have that choice. They have that choice in this bill. They have the choice. So let's stop with the theatrics. Let's stop with saying things like cost prohibitive when we're talking $50 a month for a child's safety and a child's life. Members, this is a good bill. Chair West has worked very hard. He's been very accommodating. And I do hope we all vote to pass this today.
Thank you. Chair West's response. Okay. Other members? Chair Katisa-Watun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair West, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I know that this is something that, you've spent a lot of time thinking about personally and professionally, and to the parents of Harvey. I'm glad that we had the chance to talk right before committee started. I'm so sorry for your loss again, truly. And for those of you who have shared your story and who have dealt with this in other ways, I can't imagine, as a parent myself. And one of the things that, Chair West, you said in your opening statement was that this type of abuse is actually like on the rise in Minnesota, and that's not something that I've seen data to. So like, I'm just hoping that you can speak a little bit to that. The Children's Defense Fund did submit a letter of support, but the data that they had shared was from the last 4 years, 2022, there was 51 cases in licensed child care, 2023, 75. 2024, 93 cases, and then 2025, there went down to 81. So I'm just worried. I'm just wondering if you have additional data to share with the committee, so that we can really take a long and hard look at that, not just in reference to this bill, but in all the other issues that we're going to consider before the committee this year.
Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Katisa-Watun. The data that I'm discussing has from 2022, 2023 is 57 to 100, and then in 2024, 105. And then there was a number referenced today, which I think is the most recent number, which is slightly above 105. And now those numbers came from the Department of Human Services, and I can get that to the committee at a later time.
Chair Katisa-Watun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you. Yeah, I think the numbers that I was looking at from the Children's Defense Fund letter were from DCYF. So yeah, we should definitely take care to reconcile the reports that are happening between DHS and DCYF. And then another question regarding like the institution of similar proposals or laws like this. I know that there's not another state in the nation that has considered a child care camera mandate, but do you know, like worldwide, if there's been other countries that have implemented this type of requirement for childcare.
Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair, I am not aware.
Chair Katiza Watun.
Okay, thank you. That's just something that I think we want to consider, especially when we here in Minnesota, we have a great Minnesota exceptionalist attitude, and when we put a bill forward and we're the first to set the standard for something particular like this when it comes to child safety, we want to make sure that we do it right, right? So I was just wondering if there are other nations that we could look to. I know a couple weeks ago we were talking about Norway and kind of how they invest in outdoor education and how we may learn from other countries in the work that we're doing. So definitely something that maybe we want to look into and see if there's data that would show us reason to move forward with something like this in the United States. Thanks.
Response? Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just found out I think Australia is doing this now. I got some information that they're doing this right now. Just a comment, I encourage my fellow colleagues, when we do vote on this, is not today, it'll be tomorrow, is that right, Representative Woods?
I think next week, I next believe.
Week. I hold in my hand the member guide of 134 reps here at the House. Some new folks, some old folks like me. And I'm convinced that every single one of us know how important this issue is and want to do what we can to prevent it from happening. I have no doubt in my mind and in my soul who I depend on God for inspiration and guidance and wisdom, that any one of us want to do what we can to avoid and prevent this from happening to any of our loved ones, especially the children. You know what the good book says about the children and what Jesus said of anyone that harms a child, it is better that he or she has a millstone tied around their neck and buried in the deepest of oceans. And the Lord will take care of those evil people. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility here in Minnesota to take care of our little ones. And I know that all the testimony that we've heard, not one in this room that is sitting around this table hadn't cried or prayed or thought how tragic it is and want to do something. And we can do something. I think in my 16 years here, I don't recall any author of a legislator, be it on either side of the aisle, that worked so hard to get this bill passed, to peel back some of the most important elements of his bill after his own child was abused. I have not witnessed anyone, Representative West, who worked so hard to get this to where it is today, to peel back very important language, to work with both sides of the aisle. Of course, particularly on the Democrat side, because you wanted their help. I haven't recalled anyone that worked that hard to make sure that this could get passed. And I agree with Representative Altendorf that although this is the AI, what's happening is sick and evil in their report. But to use this in conjunction with that we shouldn't do the cameras is not the right way to go whatsoever. As a photographer, I know the cost of cameras. I know the cost of video equipment. I know the cost of storing them. It is inconsequential to saving one child. You all know that. And the cost of health of our child care is very expensive. And folks who are in the room, we will get to that as well. We're working to try to get that more affordable for people. But before money has to be safety of our students. You all know that. So when we vote on this next week, let's vote it out of committee together. Let's do the right thing. Representative Chair Katiza Watun, you're right. We should do the right thing, and that is the right thing. We all know it in our souls, in our hearts. And this, for those members who've lost their loved ones or injured at a daycare, know that 134 of your legislators care deeply about this. And Representative West, thank you for bringing this. Thank you for continuing to work on this bill and getting rid of parts of the legislation that you felt so deeply about and willing to sacrifice so you can accomplish the cameras in the daycare centers to prevent this from happening, or at least when it does, that individual is persecuted
well, not persecuted, he will be persecuted, or she, is prosecuted and to the full extent of the law is thrown at that person who injures a little one. We, last year, and I'll close on this, last year, this committee, we all sat side by side, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. We shared candies. This year's been a little bit more tumultuous, but this is one piece of legislation that I think we can really make a big difference together as our legislative family in this committee. That's all I plead with you at this point, and to those who lost and who have had your loved ones, our prayers are with you.
Representative MacDonald, I'm not sure if there was a question there or not, but Chair West, do you care to respond or nothing?
I can speak at the end.
What's that?
If everybody's, I'll speak at the end.
Okay. Are there any further comments? So I will turn it over to Chair West for closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the discussion here today. After the question from Chair Katiza-Watun, it was like, oh, let me see. South Korea and Israel both have a requirement for cameras in child care centers. And South Korea has a 60-day retention period. Israel has a 30-day retention period. And South Korea requires it from ages 0 to 5 and Israel 0 to 3. So we're coming in a bit under both of those things with this proposal. And my colleagues said it better than I could. When your child is harmed, it is the most terrifying experience you can be in, and it destroys your ability to think. I was in a car accident the second of the year with my one-year-old in the car seat, and I tore the handle off the door trying to get into her, and she's totally fine. God makes some very durable little ladies. But I'd urge members, this is a bipartisan bill. This shouldn't be something that gets tripped up, especially when you look at the makeup of the legislature. Like, what a perfect situation. A Republican screaming for more regulation. How often does that happen? We can address these concerns, but what you've heard today, and the second you start talking about these issues publicly, and you hear from everyone in the state, it is utterly demoralizing to hear the stories. That you hear them today. I've got another 100 in my inbox, and everywhere I go, this is the topic of conversation. And the testifiers here today came from every political party under the sun, I'm sure. This is something that, with a one-seat majority in the Senate, with a tied House, with a governor not running for re-election, feels like it's the kind of opportunity to do these things that people look at and go, why hasn't that been done yet? Not to mention honoring those who have suffered. And as has already been restated over and over, child care centers are staffed by amazing human beings who have incredibly difficult jobs. And this, none of this is saying that they don't care for children by and large. But like all the other situations where cameras are present, they're not present for the good guys. They're present for those who would do harm. So members, when we vote on this bill, I would very much appreciate just moving it on so that we can continue the discussion. And we're working on the Senate as well. So supporting it here today will make us closer to becoming law, but it will not make it law. And I urge members to consider that even if they have reservations with the bill. But with that, that's all I got.
Thank you, Chair West, and thank you, members, and to those, the families that testified, the Harvey's parents and others, I thank you for coming in today. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for sharing your hearts. Again, I want to say I'm sorry. And I've got five children myself, and, you know, thinking of that happening to one of them is just, it hurts to think about it, and you have actually experienced it, and I'm sorry for that. And with that, members, we're adjourned.